Welcome to the Fun and Planning Guru podcast. I'm Liam, and we're back today with our guru, Dr. Gibson, with 40 years of experience in the industry and 30 years of research in fun and planning. Dr. Gibson, welcome back.
Hey, Liam. Thanks.
Absolutely. So you've been working to push fun and planning in all construction projects for decades now. It is obvious to me through empirical and self-observation that fun and planning helps a project save time, budget, just become a safer workspace. However, one thing that seems to be coming up at all time against the fun and planning process is its effect on innovation. Whenever I speak about this, not with everyone in the industry, but with quite a good chunk of them, they always argue that this level of fun and planning kills innovation as it feeds into strict doctrine that will help, thinking outside the box and, dictate ABCD, therefore, not allowing people to think more creatively. I personally disagree with this, but what do you think about this view of fun and planning? And is it genuinely going to kill innovation, in your opinion?
Yeah, so I've been involved in this for 30 years, so I've heard the same argument for 30 years, right? And I think that if a company has a front-end planning process and they follow it in a rote manner where they don't deviate from it and they're only checking the boxes and don't really understand the process itself, then certainly it can kill innovation. But if they understand the front-end planning process, which starts with a feasibility analysis, goes through concept, and then into detailed scope, and they understand those different components and how they should allow the process to really, evolve as it goes, then that process can actually enhance the ability to innovate. I've written about this for 30 years. And so let me kind of take you through that. I think the reality of it is the front end planning process, as I've talked about in other podcasts, allows us to be consistent. It allows us to make good business decisions. And if done properly with the right people, allows us to make the best decisions for the organization. So if the organization is an organization that needs to be creative, needs to provide and have new technology in its capital projects as it moves forward with new product development, then, and it follows a rote process that doesn't give the people any ability to do analysis, then, yeah, that's going to be a big issue. And so I think the people that are saying this really don't understand the process. In fact, I know they don't, because I've talked to some of them before. And once I explain it, they're like, oh, okay, I understand. So let me kind of talk through how innovation should not be stifled, right? I mean, as a business managers want consistency. They want the ability to come up with the right target, to understand what they're buying, and so on and so forth. The front-end planning process, starts out with a feasibility analysis, and that feasibility analysis really is focused on, can we do this project, at least one iteration of this project in some form, and meet our business drivers? And if we can, that means it's feasible. We move into a concept phase, and concept phase is really where the creativity should take place. We're looking in concept of where the location of the facility is going to be. We're looking at the technology that we're going to employ during the session or for the project as we go forward. We're looking at the contracting strategy, and we're trying to make big, big decisions at that point. And so that's where we should marinate these ideas, right? And so if we're just going through a rote process where, okay, let's make a decision A, B, C, and let's move on to the next phase because we don't have any time and so on and so forth, then there is going to be no creativity. Sometimes that's warranted. Sometimes creativity is a bad thing. But in many situations, creativity is extremely important in the front-end planning process. An organization called NASA, which most people relate to back in the 70s, came up with a thing called a technology readiness levels, TRLs. And I think they started out with 7 technology readiness levels. And so they looked at technology as it went into the process, and they looked at the level of readiness it is all the way to level 7, which means it's ready for prime time. And they looked at the technologies that they wanted to put into their different systems, and they went through a development process for those technologies. So the Department of Defense in the United States has adopted this, and many other organizations, Department of Energy, and so on and so forth. And it just makes sense that if we're in the front end planning process and concept, that we're going to actually look at technology. And if that's a stated goal, if that's what the sponsor wants, we're going to incorporate that technology into our projects. And so just to say and wave your hands and say that the front end planning process is causing us not to be creative, not to be innovative, is just saying that I don't understand the front end planning process. The front end planning process should be adapted to what the business drivers are of the organization at hand. As you go through that alternatives decision, then once you've chosen those alternatives, and sometimes you can actually have 2 technology options and carry both of those forward in the planning process, then you develop a detailed scope around each one of those, and that allows you to have a basis for design. And so, and we check these at phase gate approaches, right? At the end of concept, we'll get our clients involved in deciding, have we made the right decisions as we move forward? Is the project still a project that can lead to business success? And here are the innovations that we're bringing forward, realizing that when we bring innovation into a project, then we also increase the risk. And so how are we going to handle those risks? And we make that decision at phase gate 2 at the end of the concept phase, and we move into the detailed scoping phase. So the client should be very involved in that decision making as we move forward, and they also should be pretty prescriptive on how much new technology we want to actually include in the project. Sometimes projects are almost all new technology, and I would say those are the most risky projects that we would actually have. You know, the real key in concept is we don't want to block ourselves into what I call an intellectual cul-de-sac, where we just say, here's one option, we're going to move into it, and there's no way to get out of it. What we do want to do is we want to make sure that we understand that we put the right site in place and we pick the right location, that we make sure that we have the right technology. You know, that can be building materials, that can be software development or distributed control systems, that can be new processes to develop. It can be different size scales at that point, and so on. And then we also want to make sure that our contract strategy or acquisition strategy takes into consideration technology, so that we can deliver within the time frame and the cost budget that we have. So I guess my answer back to you, Liam, is this whole idea that anyone who's saying that the front-end planning process is stifling innovation really doesn't understand the front-end planning process. They are saying that the front-end planning process as being used at this organization is stifling innovation, and I would probably agree with that. But if they understand the front-end planning process as it's supposed to be used and managed, then that's a misstatement. Let's just put it that way.
I see that. Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you. From what you just expanded on about innovation and just running planning, it sounds like, you know, it is almost always a matter of the core of it is the strategy, and the strategy that, you know, trickles down from the leadership down to the facilitator of the, you know, PDRA sessions, so that they could be like, okay, we're not going to, you know, be a dictator here. And you should, you know, within reason, as you said, think about what are the newest ways that we could, you know, push this thing forward in the concept phase and all of that. And speaking of that, now I think that's one part that our audience, and especially the ones who had this confusion about innovation and PDRI, I think it's good for them to sort of like hear a little bit more about strategy and leadership part of that. I mean, that's a big part of, frankly, final planning too. Doesn't sound like it, but it is. So would you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so something you said here probably is not exactly correct. So the PDRI is a tool, right? And it just assesses where we are in the process and are we ready to move on to the design phase. And so PDRI does none of the planning for us, right? And certainly it's not averse to innovation whatsoever. In fact, it's built into the tool. I think at the end of the day, it's really the business organization that is the client who's driving the front-end planning process, the contractors who many times are doing all the work during the front-end planning process. And, you know, certainly if an organization wants to include technology or technology options in their new capital projects, then that needs to be an objective of that capital project. And if the objective is that we want, you know, for every one of our projects, 10% new technology content or methods in, then that becomes the, you know, the linchpin for actually having it happen. If the client is silent on that and brings in contractors to do the planning, then the contractors are going to take the least risk method or avenue of building the project because they're risk averse and they're under contract with the client and they don't want things to go awry. So innovation in the front-end planning process, it has to be driven by the client. It has to be them involved in saying, yes, we want new technology. There's a new solution that we would rather have. It gives us a proprietary advantage on our competitors. And when they make that statement, then certainly then they need to spend more time to investigate the different options that they have and then make a decision of whether they want to incorporate that technology in or not. I mean, certainly in the high-tech industries, the TRL thing that I mentioned earlier with NASA and many Department of Defense and so on, you know, they want new technology because it gives a competitive advantage for science or for defense or for space exploration, you know, as we move forward. So the same thing can be said in manufacturing. Same thing can be said with just, you know, basically providing facilities because many people now are going to net zero or, you know, and so on and so forth. So if we're stating that from a client perspective, this is what we want, then we're also indicating that we're going to spend more time in planning to make sure that we make the right decisions around those technologies. If we try to make those decisions in the construction phase or even in the design phase, it's going to delay the project and it's going to cost more money. And that's just the way it is. And so thinking that front-end planning is stifling innovation is just a misunderstanding of what the life cycle cost and life cycle process is. Front-end planning should be where we address risks and we try to reduce those risks and make good, sound decisions for the life cycle of our project. So, yeah, the planning process, the PDRI helps. It's obviously a tool, but other things like TRL level assessment, sub-team analysis of certain technology options and all that. It gets back to, I think, one of our early podcasts, Liam, which was, you know, the biggest problems that we see in front-end planning are people problems. Yeah. And you know, there are a lot of people out there saying, well, this doesn't work or that doesn't work. Well, when you really get down to the bottom line, they don't understand the process when they're making those statements. The front-end planning phase-gated process is the process that has been proven over centuries, but particularly over the last 50 years, to be the process that allows us to have consistency of knowledge and how we can actually deliver a project. So anyway, that's my two cents on that one.
Yeah. Maybe it's time to do, you know, an episode on how to be a good client.
Might be a good one, because, you know, it there are a lot of new clients out there, and certainly, but there are a lot of clients that have lost their ability to plan. And, you know, so contractors can provide a lot of value, but without client involvement, they're going to take the most risk averse path if they can, because otherwise they may end up in litigation if something doesn't work that they made the primary decision on. And so clients that outsource front end planning to contractors and aren't involved, then they should not expect a lot of innovation. That's just the way it is. And so that's just kind of the way it's set up.
Yeah. You know, maybe we should do an episode on that.
Yeah, I think so. That would be a good one.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good to me. Thank you, Dr. Gibson, for talking about this with us today. Obviously, every time that we sit here and speak about something, I learn something new. So I hope that you, dear audience, are also learning something. I guess these are some good stuff we talk about here. Anyway, thank you, Dr. Gibson, for sharing with us. Looking forward to the next episode with you. And thank you for tuning into our podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, please connect with us. Let us know what you think. And with that being said, this is Liam from the Fun and Planning Guru podcast at ASU. Have a lovely day.